This episode of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 4th of March 2015, here on Monocle 24.
Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Steve Bloomfield. This is your daily appointment with our international critics and cultural experts to find out the shows to see, the books to read, and the music to hear each week. Today's topic is television. Alice Vincent, arts and entertainment writer for The Telegraph, joins me in the studio to review what's on the box this week. We have an all-American lineup, including the finale of How to Get Away with Murder, the brand new series of House of Cards, and we'll see if Tina Fey's new comedy lives up to the hype. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned.
All right, Mr. President. Just behind your wife, please.
Today, I touched your shoulder. You flinched. Do you prefer or not?
What?
It was like...
Where you had your hand is perfect.
You recoiled.
Great. All right, here we go.
I think you're reading too much into something.
A little more of a smile, please.
Let's begin with House of Cards. I must admit, you know, I'm a bit of a House of Cards fan. I loved the first series.
Okay.
I liked the second series.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure if I'm a fan of the third series, though.
You're not alone there, that's for sure. It's been a real marmite, as in it, you either love it or you loathe it, and most people seem to be slightly underwhelmed, I've got to say. Yeah.
It was a bit... I don't know whether you were like me and you sort of at the weekend thought, right, I'll sit down, I've got a few hours, I'll watch a few, because, you know, that's what Netflix is all about, you watch a few. Mm-hmm. I got about an hour and a half through.
Right.
About halfway through episode two before thinking.
Yeah, I got to about a similar point actually.
Yeah. What was it? Is it the fact that the writing isn't very good, because it's not? Or is it the fact that the storylines are even less believable, because they are? Or is it just, is it something else?
Well, it's something, it's interesting. I think it's a combination of the three. I think House of Cards has represented so much. It is such a juggernaut. It's sort of, it's been that touchstone series that has changed the way we view TV, that has kind of epitomised binging. And so I just think it's, there has been so much expectation tied to it, and it has had such a good record. And then he's, I mean, should we spoiler it? But basically...
No, we can't. Okay. Well, no, we can... Okay, look, we can... Okay, close your ears for about 15 seconds if you don't want to know what happened in season one and two.
But now he is in. Now he's in the Oval Office.
Now he is president.
Now he's president.
We can say that bit.
Yeah.
You can start this again now.
Well, you're in a situation where you don't really know where he's going to go. He can't do that Machiavellian scheming to the same extent. And it's gone from being a plot-driven drama to a character-based one. Problem is, they're not really the characters you necessarily want to hear about.
No, indeed. The other thing that I'm intrigued about, and I think this is why I probably will continue with it at some stage, is that so far House of Cards, the US version, has followed pretty much the trajectory of House of Cards, the UK version.
Yeah.
And I am intrigued to see whether Act 3, and it is quite Shakespearean, of the US version is the same as Act 3 of the UK version, which had quite a dramatic ending.
Yes. Well, I know that this season ends on a cliffhanger, but I also know that they've commissioned a fourth.
Oh, so, no, really?
Yeah, and I think that's another reason why it is so flabby, is because, you know, I don't know if you watched Lost, but the third season of Lost was...
That was about where I got lost.
Right, everyone got lost there, because they didn't know when the show was going to end, so they were filling time, and then the minute that they got a show end date, suddenly it got plot and it turned around. And I think that's what's happening with House of Cards. They don't know how many seasons they're going to string out of it. So they're just filling time. And that's kind of why it's suffering, I think.
However, having said all that, do you think you're going to watch it all and get through to the end?
Probably on a rainy day weekend. I do know my colleague was saying that he watched 9 episodes this weekend. So it's clearly possible.
Well, look, that was clearly possible with the first series. With the second, anyway. Well, there we are. Okay, well, look, House of Cards out now on Netflix. You can binge, or you can watch, you know, 1.5 episodes like me and then go, yeah. let's move on to the finale of How to Get Away with Murder. First of all, Alice, for those that haven't watched this, don't know much about it, bring us up to speed.
Okay, so it is from the same studio or the production house that brought you Grey's Anatomy. So Shonda Rhimes is behind it. She's known for writing brilliant, inventive female characters and giving traditional kind of show types a new approach. So this is a legal drama unlike any legal drama you've ever seen before. It's set in university, there's a murder mystery going on, and it follows this kind of very formulaic plot of every week there is a court case and there's also a murder victim, and they have to solve the crime while this sort of undercurrent of murder is, there's a lot of murder, is being worked out. So it's trashy, but it's addictive, and it was the most watched 10 p.m. show in America last year.
Why don't we have a little listen to it?
He didn't stand a chance in there.
Judge Redding's punishing him for what this is doing to the police department's image.
Oh, he's an idiot for not firing that lawyer.
You can't get involved, Annalise. Not if you don't want them to.
Don't tell me what I can or can't do.
Yeah, don't tell me what I can and can't do. And it was the finale.
Yes.
And dramatic in a good way?
Of course, yes, absolutely. I mean, not least because they've made us wait about 3 months to wait for the finale. It's ridiculous, and they've kind of suggested that there's a second season on the way, and of course there's going to be. I think it's something that you shouldn't get too academic about, but it's incredibly compelling. There's more murder, there's more massive plot twists. It's just completely compelling.
Does everything have to have massive plot twists and huge cliffhangers these days? Because, again, to go back to House of Cards, right, in the original season, the fact that it was, they didn't have to be cliffhangers, because, you know, it was on Netflix and you just, the next thing started straight away. It didn't need to draw you in for the next one.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, on network or on cable TV, there still needs to be things that make you go, oh no, I'll come back after this ad break.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting that you say that, because I think one of the criticisms that's being laid at How to Get Away with Murder is that we're not sure if it's going to be able to carry on the momentum for a second season if it continues with a sort of murder every episode. It's going to get kind of ridiculous and soapy.
A little bit like Midsummer Murders here in the UK.
But just set in a
tiny village where I'm sure everyone's died at least 4 or 5 times grisly circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know how they keep up with all the vicars and the deaths. So it might become like that. And but I also, like, just to raise a foil to that is like, Transparent, which is on Amazon. No plot twist, very kind of steady, rewarding drama. So I think there's one for each side.
Indeed. So it's almost as if, yeah, TV networks realise that they can't go down the route of, we'll just be quiet and we'll see what happens and we'll draw people in, because actually people won't come back the next week unless there's... Or they're scared they're not going to come back the next week.
Yeah, perhaps.
Okay. And then finally, let's talk about... The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which is by possibly one of the greatest writers in America at the moment, Tina Fey. Tell us a bit about this series.
Okay, so it's Tina Fey, obviously of 30 Rock fame and general brilliance. And this is a kind of sitcom in which Kimmy Schmidt has been released from a bunker from an apocalyptic cult, and she's basically been living, I guess, kind of like this weird religious life, unaware of the outside world for 10 years, and then she's released with her sisters, and she goes to New York, and then she embarks upon life there.
So it's a little bit like, bear with me on this, it's a little bit like Crocodile Dundee.
That's an analogy I hadn't thought of.
Well, no, in that you've got the sort of the person who comes to New York City and finds it all a little bit strange and different. That analogy may not work. But so there is, bear with me on this.
Okay.
There is a sort of a typical, this is a sort of typical trope here of sort of someone who, you know, wide-eyed girl going to the big bad city.
Exactly.
Doesn't really know what's going on, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is, in that way, it's quite familiar. It's the sort of fish out of water, you know, mucking on and like, ooh, crazy New York and this naive girl. Right.
Let's hear a little bit of it.
Apocalypse, we caused it with our dumbness.
Let's go! today in Durnsville, Indiana. Four women rescued from an underground apocalypse cult.
It's all still here.
You yell in your sleep. You bite my nails. And we still don't know why you're afraid of Velcro.
Everyone should be afraid of Velcro. I don't see that. That's unnatural in some ways. Now, again, this is on Netflix, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I don't work for Netflix, disclosure. No. It's going to be released in one big lot on Friday.
Now, it's on Netflix, but it's made by NBC.
Right, okay, yeah. And I think you know more of a history about this than
Why do you think this is? Because I read something about this which sort of suggested that it might be because NBC realised they didn't have enough good comedies to lead into it.
Yeah.
And therefore there was this fear that it wouldn't get enough ratings. But you think actually they might have given it to Netflix because they could then sell it and make more money.
Yeah, I mean, this is completely unsupported and potentially slanderous. But that just makes more sense to me. I mean, NBC is the home of Tina Fey, home of 30 Rock. Like, I don't know why they'd get rid of it. But then, as you say, much speculation. We'll probably never know.
There is. I mean, it was interesting. There was a New York Times piece just a few days ago saying that NBC was worried, essentially, that they have not, that all their good comedies are coming to an end or had been coming to an end. And you need a bit of a lead in. You need to sort of, you can't just
something
have
familiar.
Something great in an ocean of badness.
Yeah.
Let's call it that.
Yeah, of course.
And that if this was to just be left in that ocean on its own,
it would suffer.
It might suffer.
But the interesting thing is that I'd argue that there aren't actually that many good comedies on Netflix, certainly not female written ones. I mean, you've got Orange is the New Black, which is by Jenji Cohn and very female led, but that's kind of more of one of those horrible dramedies, like horrible word, not horrible concept. So I think this is really refreshing for Netflix to get this interesting comedy.
And do you think it's going to be as good as 30 Rock? Is it, or is that a little bit hard to even say? I mean, 30 Rock was incredibly good and very funny and consistently funny as well over all 7 series, I think there were.
Gosh, something like that.
Let's say it was 7.
Yeah.
I'll say it confidently.
Many series.
Over all 7 series, it was consistently great.
Yeah, and of course, then it does, I think it's going to be, you know, a bit of a sweet pill for those 30 Rock fans who are feeling bereaved because there's a casting similarity there. But also from the US office, if you're a US office, you'll love it because Ellie Kemper, who played the secretary in the US office, is Kimmy Schmidt. And the role was actually written for her.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of perfectly cast. I think it'll be something of its own, but it probably will provide some satisfaction to 30 Rock fans.
Indeed. It's interesting, again, you know, you chose 3 American series this week. And, I mean, if anything, it just does suggest that, you know, American TV drama and comedy is still, even if there are issues over, so, you know, you can point to quality dramas elsewhere.
Yeah.
They're the ones that sell globally, aren't they, still?
Yes, they are. I mean, because the thing is that if you look at what we have to sell globally, we've got Downton Abbey, which does incredibly well, but, I mean, it's just not nowhere near as good.
It's not quite in the same ballpark.
Not quite, no. And it's a shame because I'd argue that the British dramas that are really, really good have a very devoted but cult audience and then weirdly get remade for American markets. It's like our really good stuff never even gets a chance abroad.
Well, indeed. And, you know, the same could be said for great Israeli dramas
right,
as well.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, whether that's Hostages or I forget what Homeland was originally called in Israel, but Homeland was based on a Israeli drama
right.
as well. They do very, very well in Israel and the formats are sold elsewhere.
Sure. And Europe as well. I mean, I believe that The Returned, which was this brilliant French drama, is having a remake, an American remake.
Can they not just take the subtitles?
I don't know.
In fact, they did that with The Killing as well. They did an American version of The Killing.
Version
Again,
The Killing.
What was wrong with the original?
I don't know. A debate for another day, perhaps.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Okay, if you had to choose one to binge through over a weekend.
Oh, I think I'm going to go lighthearted.
Oh, yeah.
And go Kimmy Schmidt.
Only because I can. Lighthearted and go with The Doomsday Cult.
Yeah, well, relatively, that's the lighthearted one. That's my pick.
Excellent. Alice Vincent from The Telegraph. Thank you very much indeed. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Steve Bloomfield. Our producer was Holly Fisher. Tom Edwards will be here tomorrow. He will have all the latest book releases for you. But for now, thanks for listening.